Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. Excited to have you here with us today. I'm here with our guest, Renee Christensen, and we are going to be talking about following Jesus into his ideal ministry for you. Some of the talk points are why we must realize that everything belongs to God, the mistake of wrong thinking and how we fall into it, three simple strategies to grow in prayer, the power of obedience, why authenticity and loving relationships and discipleship matter, the three ways to grow in your Christian faith as a mother and a leader, three simple strategies to be in ministry while also investing in your kids, how to follow Jesus into his ideal ministry for you. And Renee is our guest today. She is a speaker, author, podcaster, founder of Training Them Wisely, and a homeschool mom of seven. Her most recent book is Training Them Wisely, and it's how to disciple your kids. You can learn more about her over at trainingthemwisely.com, and you can also invite her to speak via womenspeakers.com. Welcome to you, Renee. So excited to have you here.
I am so excited to be here.
Well, we did a show on your channel a while back, and I was thinking, oh, we got to get this on my channel here. And, you know, I think one of the things that's real hard, and I hear as I'm taking women into the speakers directory over at womenspeakers.com, a lot of the younger moms are saying, you know, should I be doing this now? How much should I be doing this now? Like that. And I always talk to them about seasons, and not that you can't do some of it now, but there are seasons and your kids are only small for a season. And while it's tempting to just try to do everything all at once, you really want to think about what your priorities are there. Yes. And how to use that time most wisely. You were just telling me before we came on air, you've just come through a week of EBS and 3 weeks of camp, and it's like, yes. Whoa, crazy wild.
It is. It has been. And I think that there's seasons in life for everything. Up until this year, I couldn't even go to camp because my youngest just turned 5 years old. And I am so excited I was able to go and serve in that way this year, but it's something that's happened this year where I'm able to serve. And I just think looking at your seasons of life and paying attention to what God wants you to do in each season is what's really important, because being a mom is important. So
important.
Yeah. My story is that I used to run a business, Budget Saving Mom, whenever my kids were younger, and we needed that income in order for me to be able to stay at home with them. Yeah. And it became a very big business quickly. I had an amazing platform. I had a huge email list. I had a very good income coming in from it. And I felt like God was saying, no, it's time to be with your kids. Mm. So it didn't make sense from the world's viewpoint at all for me to give up that business, because it was something that was not a lot of people would have that same platform. I mean, and I was able to be telling people about God every single Sunday. Right. I was running the devotion. But my children at that point in my life, I felt like God was telling me to point to them. And they are just as important. That's what, you know, people are like, how did you give that up? But it's not giving it up. It's being exactly where God wants you to be at the time he wants you to be there. So I've been so blessed for 10 years to be able to be at home discipling my children and pouring into them. And that's where God wanted me.
I just have a quick follow-up question. What happened financially when you said yes to God in the way of stepping away from it?
So we ended up, all of the money was able to go to an orphanage in Kenya, which was very neat. So financially, though, I was making a good bit of money. The money continued passively from old links on my website for almost a year. Yeah. And so it was a gradual decrease in money. But then I no longer made any money. So it was a financial sacrifice, definitely, that we made. But it was a financial sacrifice for things here on earth versus the eternal benefit that I had of being able to disciple my children, which was much more important. It was. Yeah. It was where I'm supposed to be. I don't regret it at all because I had a complete peace about it. Because when you're in God's will, doing what he wants you to do, that's the only place that you're going to be at peace. That's where you need to be.
I think that's the main thing there is just that I can have, there's so many choices. We could do so many things, right? But when we're in the spot where God has us to be, where he wants us to be, then all of the fullness of Christ is flowing through us. There's, you know, there's blockages that come when we're fighting against God. Yes. There's blockages that come there and we can't experience him fully. And he's still here fully, but it's kind of blocked behind a wall there of our choosing, our making.
It is.
And I love that, you know, the first thing you wanted to talk about was that everything actually belongs to God. Yes. So when we're making decisions about what to do with it, the most logical place to start then is with God.
It is. It is. And that's all of us. It's our time.
Right.
It's our money. Yeah. It's in my case, it was giving up a platform in order to be able to spend time with my kids, which at that point is the most important thing that God wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's worth it because when we actually, well, I'll talk about that later, but when we give it up, it's not really giving things up because you're getting through.
Right. Will. It feels like it though, in that moment.
In an earthly sense.
Yeah. And you're seeing, I can choose A or B and there doesn't seem to be any kind of a, you know, I could have both of these things. It feels like a death. One of the things that's happened to me so much through the years is when God has asked me to lay something down. Mm-hmm. I typically, in the past, I would fight. And then now I've gotten to be pretty fast about it. But in the past, I would do a lot of fighting and come to realize that I'm the one that's miserable during the fight. I'm the miserable party.
Yes.
The sooner I just say, God, you have, of course you are God, you are Lord. And I want to do this your way. I mean, once I lay it down, I come to peace. And also one of the things that I've noticed for me, and I don't know if you've ever seen this, but a lot of times when I lay something down, he gives it back to me either the same way or different later. Exactly. He just wanted me to release it and let him decide instead of me holding so tightly to it.
Yes. Like for me, I love to write. That's what I was doing on my website with my books. Mm-hmm. And now about a year and a half ago, he said, it's time for you to start writing again. And I'm able to write something that's even more meaningful. Like I was helping people before, but to be able to actually be writing about him is a lot more exciting.
That's so cool. And of course, all of this experience you've had in the meantime takes your writing to a whole new level. You know, you just have so much more to bring to the table. Exactly. So talk to us about wrong thinking. So how do you define it and how do we avoid it?
Okay. So for wrong thinking, what I was really thinking about is whenever we're giving things up, that yes, it's a sacrifice, but the sacrifice, whenever we can complain about what we're giving up and grumble about it. Right.
Yeah.
Or we can look at the reward that we get instead. Mm-hmm. It's like just simple things. Even in the morning, I could complain that I'm not sleeping as much, or I can rejoice in the fact that the God who created the entire universe wants to spend time with me.
Yeah.
And look at that reward that we have from being able to spend time with him. I could think about the lack of the platform that I have as I'm starting off my new ministry that I would have had, you know, but this is not where I was supposed to be. And instead think about the years of development that he's had with me raising these children and being able to pour into them and being able to disciple them. So that then I can help others be able to disciple their kids. God was able to show me that benefit. And I got really, really sick actually during COVID. It wasn't with COVID. And we weren't sure if I was going to honestly live or not. Wow. And that brought it to a new level of realizing. I was thinking of the story of baby Moses and his mom and how she only had those few years to pour into him before she went to live somewhere else. And I was thinking to myself, if I only have a few years to pour into my kids, what do I really want them to know? And I became so much more, even more intentional in my discipleship of them.
Wow,
And so God uses all of those things and we can look at them as a negative thing, or we can say, God, what are you trying to teach me? How are you trying to grow me? How are you going to use this for the plans that you have prepared for me? So
I've been recently thinking more about the verses that God talks about, the plans that he has for us. And I've been kind of just pausing in the middle of these familiar verses. I've been just pausing to remember that God actually has a plan for me, like a plan for me.
Yes.
It's like when I make a plan, I'm very specific. I'm not like, I'm going to get in my car and drive somewhere. Not at all. Go somewhere and do something in specific, you know, and to think that God has a plan for us, and then we get to say yes or no and have the consequences of that. But I think the right thinking is to get really excited that God literally has a plan for you
that he prepared beforehand. I mean, it is, it's thought out. It's the perfect plan because he knows everything.
Yeah. Right. And not only is it the perfect plan just in advance, but he created, actually designed my brain, my body, my location, my parents. Yes. All of that was orchestrated so that I could do the plan. Yes.
Who you interact with, everything.
Everything. It's so specific, which is so beautiful. So we're going to come around to the topic of prayer here real quick, because this is just simply how we communicate with God. We're saying, what is God's plan with you, you know, for you, like that. But if you don't pray, you're not going to find it, because communication with God is how we get the input that we need to know what to do next. So three simple strategies for prayer.
Okay, so I'm a practical person and I teach classes on prayer because I think that prayer is so incredibly important. And as I've asked over 1,000 women now, how much time can you spend in prayer? I'd say 99.9% of them say 3 to 5 minutes is how much time.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's not very much. Yeah.
And so just practically, how can we spend more time in prayer? And this is what, because they want to spend more time in prayer.
But they just don't know what to talk about.
They don't know what to talk about. These are very simple things that I think can help us so much with prayer.
Wow.
So the first one that I suggest is to pray out loud. Whenever you and I are talking, we're talking out loud. We're not getting distracted. And whenever you first start praying, if you're just praying in your head, it's easy for your mind to wander. And we want to be able to speak to God because, I mean, he's our father. He wants to be our friend. He wants to communicate with us. So if we're praying out loud, first of all, if we have kids, we're modeling prayer. They're seeing how important that prayer is. Yeah. They're seeing how to pray, but they're also, it helps you to not be distracted so that you can pray. Because whenever you actually are not getting distracted, I think that you can be surprised at how much time you can spend in prayer. There are so many wonderful things about God that we can praise him and thank him for. That can take you hours just to think through the characteristics of God that you know.
Oh my goodness. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, with a friend, when we're talking, when you and I are talking, one of us stops talking, the other one starts talking.
Yes.
And that's, you know, that if you're talking, if you're silent in your head only, it's harder to actually, especially if you're new at talking with God, it's harder to actually envision what's actually happening, to actually own that and experience that. When you're talking out loud and you pause, you hear the silence.
Yes.
And you wait for his response.
It makes you consciously think to wait for a response. It does.
Yes. Love it.
It's just an easy trick, I think, that, or trick, I don't know, that's the word to use. It's really easy to implement that can change your prayer life. So the thing that I did, and I know that you've done this too, because we talked about this before, but when the praying constantly, I think it's really, really important that we have a constant attitude of prayer, but also that we pray frequently. And so years ago, I decided to set a timer every 15 minutes to go off. And the timer went off every 15 minutes, and it was a reminder for me to just stop, spend a second in prayer. I mean, this wasn't not like I was spending the whole 15
so
minutes.
Fast. I know.
Stop and spend some time in prayer and literally think about, what am I doing right now? Is this what you want me to be doing? And at the beginning, whenever I started doing it, it might go off whenever I was about to raise my voice to one of my children.
God's timing.
And it becomes a habit because it's not just every 15 minutes. Then once you've got it, I don't even have to set my timer every day for me to still be constantly checking in with God throughout the day. So that's a way that I encourage people to constantly pray. It's just to literally set a timer, do it for a few weeks. And I think you'll be absolutely shocked at the difference in your prayer life.
Yeah. And when I started with an hour, and then I went down and pretty down and down and down. And then I got to 20 minutes, and That felt really good. And then I went to 15. That was too often for me. I couldn't quite. It was like I kept feeling like I keep getting interrupted all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at 20 minutes was my sweet spot. Yours was 15. Was. You might find that yours is 8 or, you know, 30, whatever. Yeah. The whole point of it is to train your conscious mind. You know, so I always like to say God is always with us. He doesn't leave me. He never goes anywhere. The difference is he in my conscious mind or just in my presence? And so just bringing him into conscious mind again frequently, yes, and getting in the habit of that. So when you see an ambulance go by, you pray for the people that are affected.
Yes, that's the first spot. Yes.
Right. That is just a constant. It's a constant relational, just a really good, strong relationship. I think for today's kids, I think of texting and how easy it is for them to just zip a text to somebody. They don't worry if they're interrupting them. They don't, you know, they just do this text thing all the time, way more than my generation can imagine how often they text. But the reality is that God is longing to have a conversation with us that often, that freely, that accessible.
And yeah, he wants us to. I mean, it's
he
just
wants us to. Yes, he's waiting. About.
And we don't always do it. I mean, it's just, right. Yeah, we want to do that, knowing who he is.
So okay, that's number three. Yeah.
The third thing that I do is look at your entertainment and just think about margin in today's life. And we don't have a lot of it. There's our phone that's distracting us. There's TV that can be distracting us. There's not getting up and wanting to sleep instead that can distract us. So think about your day, because I don't want to just spend my quick prayers every 15 minutes. I think it's actually really, really important that I have a time with God in prayer. So I set a time aside. I make sure that I do not pick up my phone unless, you know, if one of my parents is having a medical issue, that would be different. But in general, I make sure I do not pick up my phone, because I know that that time in the morning is the time that I'm going to spend my extended time in prayer with God. And I value it. I put it on my calendar. It's written down as an appointment. I don't miss it. And I look forward to it every day. But I've made that decision that it's so important that I'm willing to give up things that don't matter, because my relationship with God matters. That time in prayer matters.
Yeah. You know, before we went into our recording here, it's live, but it's also being recorded and we'll put on the radio show after. Before we went into this, I walked around my house and I put the signs up that say urgent, do not disturb, because we're doing a live video right now recording and it's streaming live. And so it's important that the doorbell isn't ringing and the dog isn't barking and, you know, people aren't knocking or coming in and out. And we take so much care when we make an appointment with another person. And sometimes with God, we just are very careless. But yet that's the most important relationship of all. So when you think about obedience then, and I kind of want to dive into this one a little bit too, because I feel like kind of like submission, obedience kind of gets a bad rap. But tell us from your perspective, why do you feel like obedience is so powerful?
Okay, I'm very excited to talk about this one because it is so incredibly important. So first of all, just the obvious reason that it is important is because we're commanded to obey God, right? Mm-hmm. With Peter, he said, we must obey God rather than men. So it is something that we're commanded to do. And God does have all of these works that he has prepared for us, but we want to do everything in his strength, not in our own strength. And in Ephesians 6, where it talks about putting on that full armor of God, finally be strong in the strength of the Lord and in his might. So when I'm doing things, I want to do them in such a way that I'm being completely obedient to God, because I could spend my wheels all day long trying to do good things, trying to serve others, trying to do things in love. It's completely different if I'm doing it in my own strength.
Yep.
Versus actually doing it in his strength, right, and in his power and might, because that's how I want to be. That's how I want it to be done. What I can give versus what God can give through me is completely different.
It is.
Right. And so if I can do it in his strength instead, that makes a difference. And when I'm obeying him instead of obeying myself, what I'm doing lasts forever.
Yeah.
Just like that income that I was willing to give up. That is something that isn't going to last forever. The souls of my children are going to last forever.
Yeah.
Right. So whenever we're obeying God and actually doing what he says, we're doing it his way. He gives us the strength to do anything. And the truth is, he gives us the strength to do anything that he tells us to do. So it doesn't matter if it's something that we would fear or something that doesn't feel like we can do it. If he tells us to do it, we can. Yeah. And he gives us the ability to do it. Whenever I was younger, I scored like zero in teaching. And yet God called me to homeschool my kids and God told me to teach women. And so God, that's something that I had to completely rely on God to do for me.
Right.
And it worked out much better than me trying to do it myself. So,
yeah. And I just love that. I just love that when he's flowing it through me, mm-hmm. I don't actually have to worry about any kind of lack or loss or lameness or limitation, because exactly what he wants done is going to get done.
Exactly.
Several years ago, during COVID, God asked me to do a concert on my front porch of original songs on Easter Sunday. And it was so crazy because we live like on this place, like a cul-de-sac. I mean, it's not, nobody goes by here. It was COVID and it was just really ridiculous. Like, why would I do that? But God was just put in my heart that it was a fundraiser for a particular ministry. And so I was like, whatever. So I just said yes. And I got ready and I reached out to the pastor who was in charge of that ministry. And I said, I'm going to do a fundraiser on Easter Sunday. I said, I don't know if it'll be $50 or $500 or $5,000, but we're just going to go do what God calls us to do. And Renee, it was so uncomfortable and it was kind of miserable. And the connection was, we streamed it live on YouTube too. And the connection was bad. And it was just really, it was really not very good. And like a couple people drove by kind of squinting what I was doing. But it was just crazy. And afterwards, after it was over, we had raised $5,000 for that mission. And the next morning I was in prayer and I was like, God, I'm so upset about yesterday. It was so terrible. And he's like, what? And I'm like, it was awful. The connection was bad and hardly anybody came. And he's like, Marnie, the biggest number that you had thought of, that's the number I gave you to invest into the mission. And you did what I asked you to do. Why are you upset? And I was upset, Renee. I was mad. And I guess I figured out in that moment that I was kind of mad because I didn't feel like I earned it, because it was a poor quality thing. And I felt like I didn't earn $5,000. I needed to work much harder and it had to be much better to have that kind of an income. But from God's perspective, I just had to be, you know, and I just wrote a song a couple weeks ago. I'm like a 2-year-old dancing on a table. You know, 2-year-olds dancing on tables, all they care about is number one, that they're moving and shaking, and number two, that you're watching. That's all they care about. It's all for you. And the stylism and all the details and all the perfection, they are not in their head. They're just moving and shaking and they're hoping you're enjoying it. And, you know, God just put this song in my heart. And when we are obedient, what we find is that it's so much more joyous, so simple compared to us trying to perform our way through everything.
Yes, 100%. Whenever I was writing my book, I had several people offer to publish my book that had reached out to me because of my previous platform that I did have. But I strongly felt like God was telling me I needed to self-publish it.
Wow. Yeah.
And I just kept praying to him because every time that I would get an offer of a substantial amount of money. And he was like, no, don't do it. And so I didn't. And I said, God, that's fine. I said, if you want to reach 200 people with my book and that's all, that is fine. And that's why I just kept praying. I was like, but you do whatever you want to do with it. And on day one, when my book went for sale, guess how many copies sold? 200.
Oh, on the first day.
Nice. That was all I prayed, is that, you know, I was like, God, if you would just for me, would you let 200 people read it? So, and I just thought that was such a blessing from him.
It is so random. Like, where do these numbers come from even? You know, why do we have a certain number in our head? Or, you know, and sometimes we don't, and it just doesn't matter. The number doesn't matter because, you know, to God, it's every soul. But at the same time, you know, he does love every one of those souls, and he counts. He keeps track of us all. Talk about authentic, loving discipleship.
So that was a great segue into it, because God does care about each and every person. So the last command that Jesus gave on earth was to go and make disciples. And that is something that we're supposed to do. But making disciples and discipleship is something that I have found is really lacking in today's church. I had a couple hundred women come up to me in less than a month and say, how do I read my Bible? And I was like, okay, God, you're trying to get my attention.
Yeah.
But discipleship is relationships. That's what it is, right? Loving relationships is what matters to him. So I started teaching all of these classes, but I also wanted it to form into discipleship groups. So it quickly exploded where there's lots of discipleship groups that are going around, but that's God and how he works whenever I just did a few things. But loving discipleship, the reason it matters so much is whenever you are wanting to disciple somebody, it has to be done from a pure heart. It has to be done from love. And it has to be that relationship that you have with God being the most important one, but also the fact that you're willing to love them unconditionally and help them to grow in their faith with God. That has to bring you joy to watch them be able to grow in their faith with God and to watch them be able to disciple their kids. Mm. And so it matters so much because we are, unfortunately, in America, I think it's 1% is all in age 29 and down that have a biblical worldview.
Wow.
We are not forming disciples well with people who actually know how to read the Bible and who know how to pray. And so if I can pour into people and have this loving relationship with them to teach them because I care for them so much and I want them to know God. I mean, that's what I want. So if I can pour into them and then they can in turn pour into more people, Jesus had a reason he said it was discipleship. It's because it's multiplication. Yeah. So what started out as a small group can quickly form into hundreds of people and make a difference, you know? And so I think God knows what he's talking about whenever he said it's discipleship.
Right.
It does matter.
Yeah. Yeah. As you were talking, I was thinking about you can't ever give away something you don't have. Mm-hmm. And if you have not been discipled, it's very difficult for you to imagine how to disciple someone. But once you've been discipled, then you know how. You've seen it modeled and you can step into that with your own children or with the other people in your life as well that God brings. So let's talk about growing our faith as a mom and also as a leader.
Okay, so here I think the most important thing to grow in your Christian faith is definitely to know Jesus. The
first
more that we
first.
Know him, the better it is. Because really and truly, I found that many people don't read their Bibles and they don't actually know who God truly is. Mm. Syncretism is so widespread where people have all different kinds of beliefs coming in rather than Bible. But I have found that once I can teach someone to read even just one book in the Bible, and I know that that sounds silly to teach them to read it, but it seems overwhelming whenever it's a big book. But once they're able to read the Bible and actually start learning who God is, then they're blown away by it because it is. It's absolutely amazing the God that we serve. Yeah. And so knowing God right there, once you know how strong he is, once you know that he's your refuge, your peace, once you know how compassionate he is, how good he is, and once you know him, that's how you can grow in your faith. Because how can you not put your trust in God when you know who he is?
Right. And the more you get to know him, the more you'll love him.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And then the other thing that, so I was actually reading a verse right before this as well, because I'm doing a Bible study right now in Colossians. And it says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is something that God has really been speaking to me about recently, really for, I guess, about the past 9 months. He keeps repeating that over and over to me again, and just how important that is. And I think that part of the reason is when we, thanksgiving is associated with anxiety. You know, whenever it's anxious, you're supposed to give thanks is what Paul tells us over and over again. And in order to have faith, we need to have faith in God and not in ourselves. So once we're having faith in God and not in ourselves, and we're thanking God for who he is, and we're realizing who he is, then we can have faith and trust in him more. So I actually think thanksgiving is really important for our faith as well, that we're able to praise him and that we're able to give thanks to him. And then the third thing.
Changes everything.
It does completely. The third thing is to pray. Once again, it comes back to prayer. We've got to know Jesus. So knowing Jesus, putting your trust in him and praying to him.
Yeah, I love that. So three simple strategies to be in ministry while also investing in your kids.
So I've been in ministry for more than 20 years, even though I've been at home. But so I try really hard to involve my kids in any ministry that I'm doing, because it's really important for me that they learn how to serve others. And as I am starting a ministry, I am still a full-time mom. It's really, really important to me that I continue to disciple them. So one thing that I do is I try to find ways that we can all serve together. And so since I lead Bible studies and teach and all of that and lead these discipleship groups, I have my children read the same things that my discipleship group are reading. And that way we're having those discussions together, because as I'm pouring into these other women, I'm also wanting to be able to pour into my kids.
Yeah.
And they were able to teach me things, honestly, too. It's amazing because God's word's living and active. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can still learn from it.
Yeah.
And then another thing I try to do is take them with me whenever we're actively serving. So one thing that we have done for the past year is we've gone into the projects and been working with very low income kids. Their parents don't have a vehicle. Well, they have one parent. All of them do. There's a lot of gang activity. It's a very desperate situation. And these kids desperately need to know Jesus's love, desperately. And I actually bring all of my children with me when I go there. They don't go into the projects. They go to a building because of the safety issue. I'm the only one that goes in there, but they go into a building with me. My older kids tutor them, and my younger kids participate in the Bible study and in the different activities that we're doing with the kids. The kids are able to see an example of a parent that loves their children, which I think is really important. And my children are learning so much by being in ministry there. Like, they're able to see what true need looks like.
Right.
And they're able to see what it really means to be able to pour into others. So I think doing ministry with your children is a very helpful thing as well.
Yeah. Because
we want them to learn too.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then the last thing is I have started blocking hours off. And because I want to make sure that whenever I am doing discipleship with my kids, really pouring into them, I put my phone up, I turn everything off, and it's just time with them. And then because I'm doing so much writing now, I also have scheduled blocks of time where my children have other things that they're doing, their independent work at school or something like that, so that I'm able to concentrate on this. And by kind of blocking my time off, I've been able to make sure that I can balance things better.
I love that. I love that. And I remember one time I had been traveling and I came home and I was the president of the women's ministry at our church. And I came home and there was an emergency meeting had been called in my absence. Something had come up and they were going to meet Monday night. But before I had left on the trip, I had promised the kids that when I got home on Monday night, we would go swimming. And I thought, I don't know what to do. These are both very important commitments. They're both so important. I couldn't decide. And I was like, God, you just have to show me what to do tonight. So I went through the day, and comes late afternoon. I thought, I have to make a decision here pretty quick. And I didn't know what to do. So I just grabbed my Bible and I said, God, just show me what to do tonight. So I just opened my Bible and I put my finger down. People say don't do that, but I say the only time not to do that is when you're actually trying to manipulate the answer, because God doesn't play games well. He's not like that. He knows your heart. And if you really need an answer and you have done everything you know and you just do this, I mean, so many times God just speaks to me out of that verse over and over. I mean, countless times. That time, my finger just went down on a verse in Psalms, and it said, be like one who lays in the sea, S-E-A. And I was like, well, clearly I'm going swimming. But, you know, I think the thing is, as a parent, when you want to prioritize your kids over everything else, there will come these times when you don't know what to do. You don't know, like, do I need to make the money or do I need to be at home? Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? Do I need to do this? And God knows, and we don't. And so it's back to, I think all of it is, from my perspective, Renee, all of it's about relationship with God and being dependent on Him, growing in the dependence on Him and the willingness to say yes to whatever it is He asks us to do. And, you know, sometimes it isn't the answer we kind of hoped for.
It isn't, yeah. But God knows exactly what it is we're supposed to do.
Closing thoughts. How do we follow Jesus into the ideal ministry for us?
So We need to obey him. Yeah. We need to know what his will is and be willing to obey him. So we need to pray about it. We need to look at our scriptures. And I think one of the main things that has been beneficial to me over the years is that I journal what God speaks to me every day as I'm in my quiet time. At the end of the week, I go back and I reread what the God's given me the week. At the end of the month, I check all my weeks. At the end of the year, I check all my months. And I have found that quite often God has given me that answer.
Yeah.
All along. And then he knows that I'm going to have looked back through it and been able to see it. And because I've journaled, I've been able to see exactly what it is that he wants me to be doing. So just to follow in his will completely and make sure that you're doing what he wants you to do and be willing to sacrifice anything that he wants you to do for it and believe that he is the one that gives you the strength to do anything that he calls you to do.
You know, I journal all the time and I've never thought of doing exactly that, but that's really a nice way to do it too. You know, cause you have all these journals and all these memories and all these thoughts and all these prayers. And I usually flag, like if I have something really important, I'll flag that page or whatever, and come back. But I really like that weekly, monthly, and then yearly. That's really cool.
It's neat to see what God's spoken to you over the year. Cause it's a theme. It really is. That's why I know that Thanksgiving for the past few months is what he's been repeatedly showing me.
Yeah.
Looking back through those journals by the weeks and the months.
And it can, if you're just going day to day to day to day, it can at times. I just came through a little season like this where it felt like nothing was making sense, but it was because it was leading up to a culminating point. I had to have a lot of stones set in place, if you would, or steps set in place before I could see over the wall what was on the other side there. So it felt just like kind of, I can't see what's happening. I don't know what's going on here until I got to that last point. And then I could see clearly what was happening. And even going back, you know, you can feel that. But sometimes when you're in it, it just gets to be kind of a longer, a kind of just a mess to try to disentangle. So I just love that. That's so cool. This has been great. I love your heart. You and I, we actually have a very similar approach to how we connect with God. And so that's just so fun. But I just love what you're doing in the world. And you guys want to really go check out the website. Let me put it up here for you. The website is trainingthemwisely.com. When you go over there, Renee, what are they going to find over there?
So they'll find information about my book, Training Them Wisely.
There we go. I know, right?
But that's okay, right? Then, in the next month or so, they're going to see a bunch of things that can go along with this. So I've got them. They're going to be coming out in August and in September, different journals for kids as they're having their quiet times. And then I'm doing a 365 days worth of prayers for your kids, like just ideas of what you can pray for. Because I found that people don't know what to pray for their kids. And like I said, prayer is important. And so I'm doing a flip calendar for that just to give people ideas. And you'll see different things I speak about. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram via that as well. And check out my podcast. My podcasts are there too.
Awesome. Well, so great. Go check out trainingthemwisely.com. Also, like she just mentioned, Renee is available to come speak at your upcoming events, especially for women or for parents. She just loves that. That's her sweet spot. But she's got just, as you can hear, she can talk about prayer and lots of different things. Thank you so much, Renee. Thanks for being here. And thanks for just being such a bright light. All right. Thanks, you guys, for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.